Today, in our Striving Together series, and we've been talking about and considering what the Bible says about church membership, we are talking about striving together, serving the Lord through the Lord's church, and we're going to just have this mini-series inside of our series of what the Bible says about church membership, and there are five things that we said we would discuss. That church membership is a command of the Lord. It's not something that's optional. It's a commodity, meaning that there's tremendous spiritual benefit and help for God's people designed and built into being a member of one of the Lord's churches. Also, it's a communion or a community, and there's protection there. There's help there. There's encouragement there, one with another inside the Lord's church. And today, we're going to talk about this fourth thing, that church membership is a commitment, and we're going to consider this thought and idea, what areas that we should understand that we are committed to if we are a member of one of the Lord's churches. And so let's pray and ask the Lord to help, and then I won't keep you long this afternoon, okay? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. We thank you for your word that's been given already. We thank you even for the response in the heart of men toward you and that has already been manifested. And Father, we pray that you would continue to glorify yourself through your word or through your church. Grow it, build it according to your will. Help us to be submitted to you in all things. And Lord, help us to see the commitment here that we are making, that we should have when we join the Lord's church. And Lord, you place us here at the same time. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to appreciate what we have from you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this fourth thing is that church membership is a commitment. And basically, what that is telling us is that the Lord does not want you or me to simply be a pew warmer as a member of a church. In other words, in a Bible-believing Baptist church, it is the will of God that as a member of one of His churches, it is required, it will require a substantial commitment on our part. The church is not here to please me, to please you, what we can get out of it, although there are benefits. It is there for us to serve the Lord, to help to edify it, to strengthen it, to grow it, which requires a substantial commitment on our part. It's going to require a commitment of our time, our treasures, and our talents, for sure. And all of those things, whether it's your time, whether it's your treasures or your talents, all of those are given by God, not to use for self, but for His glory through His church. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll talk about some things here in just a minute, but just a couple passages to get us going. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. Paul speaking to the church in Corinth, and members in particular. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And Paul states very clearly that we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to the Lord, and we are given from the Lord what we have for the purpose of glorifying Him. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. If you go over to Ephesians chapter 3, we'll cross-reference here with Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 21, you know, unto Him, Christ, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, or unto God be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Our purpose is to glorify the Lord through our life, and all of the effort that commitment takes is actually going to be worth it all when we hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And so we're going to talk about church membership being a commitment. Membership requires a few things. First of all, it's a commitment to faithful service. A commitment to faithful service. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, turn to 1 Corinthians 3, please. In verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. That was verse 13, by the way. Paul states here that we are laborers together with God. In verse 10, he says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. In other words, the Apostle Paul indicating here that life is not about just floating along. Church membership is not just about floating along. There's work involved. There's a commitment to faithful service that's involved here. We're laborers together with God, and our work is going to be tried of what sort it is. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians 5, in verse 9 and verse 10, wherefore we labor, there's that word labor or work, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And so we have here a commitment to faithful service. That service is to Christ first and foremost, but also it's service to each other. And clearly, service involves work, and it involves sacrifice. And like I said, sometimes people have a mentality that the church is here for them. The church is here to serve me. The church is here to meet my needs. And you often can understand a person's heart or their attitude because it's demonstrated in their responses. Like whenever people, you know, only show up when it's convenient for them, it gives you an understanding of how they view the Lord's church. That there's not a commitment to faithful service there. It's when it's convenient for me. I've got these other things going on in my life, and when it's convenient, we'll show up and we'll do, quote, our part by attending. Or you see it manifest when people give statements or say statements like, you know, the people aren't very friendly. Why aren't people helping me? How come nobody says hi to me? Etc., etc. That's often a demonstration of what they're attitude involving the church is, that it's there to serve them. That's not what church membership demands. It demands faithful service to Christ and to others. It involves work. It involves sacrifice. If we're not really willing to sacrifice of ourselves and our time, our treasures, our talents for others, then we're not really willing to sacrifice for the Lord. And we need to understand that as a member of the church, there's a commitment on your part and my part to faithfulness, faithful service to the Lord and to each other. And that is involving of work and sacrifice. The church is not here to serve us or to meet our needs. Our job is to help edify it and build it. Secondly, there's a commitment to support it. As a member of the church, there should be a commitment to support it. In Acts chapter 11 in verse 29, turn over there, Acts 11 in verse 29. I'm having you turn to passages of Scripture in an effort to help try to keep some of you awake. Don't let it overtake you. Acts 11 in verse 29. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Here's an example of the church at Antioch sending relief to the poor in Jerusalem. We also note in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, in verse 1, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him." Malachi chapter 3, in verse 8 says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in offerings. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house." For the record, the storehouse is the Lord's church. A person who's not a faithful tither is robbing God. That's what God says. These people said, "Wherein have we robbed thee?" And God said, "You've robbed me in tithes and offerings. The first part belongs to the Lord." And God said, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Why do we give? Well, it's a command of the Lord, but it's so that there's meat in mine house, so that we have the ability to meet the needs of the church and the ministry and so on. In 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7, "Every man, according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." Paul again talking to the saints in Corinth, and he said that God loves a cheerful giver, and God will provide. Even above the tithes, there is a responsibility to give and to support the work and the ministry of the Lord's church, missions, etc. Our church is a giving church, I believe that, as a whole. But what about you as an individual? Are you being obedient to the command of the Lord? Do you understand that it's a tremendous privilege to be able to give and then to trust the Lord and see God supply? People get so bent out of shape about money. How much we have, how much we don't have. We get bent out of shape about it. But in reality, God supplies, God provides. The tithes, the offerings are here to be used for the work of the Lord, for the ministry. And what we miss when we get so bent out of shape about something so small is we miss the tremendous privilege to be able to give and then to trust the Lord and see the Lord supply it. Because only then to be able to give again and again to continue to see the blessing of God in our life. That's how it works. That's the purpose of it. And according to Micah, not giving and giving liberally at that is robbing God, because God owns it all anyway. So as a member, there's a commitment to service, to Christ, to each other. There's a commitment to support it. Thirdly, there's a commitment to loving submission. It requires some submission on our part as a member of the Lord's church. We are to submit to a couple of things. First of all, there's a submission to God-appointed leadership. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." The Word of God is clear to submit ourselves to God-appointed leadership, to the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:12, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake." Paul said to his followers, to people, he said, "You follow me as I follow Christ." If God places members in the body as it hath pleased him, which he does, 1 Corinthians 12:18, and Jesus Christ appoints leadership over his churches, then it stands to reason that God wants each member to be under that God-appointed leadership. If we want to be obedient to the Lord, then we need to be obedient to the injunction of Scripture and be obedient to the commands of Christ for us. I want you to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, please. 1 Thessalonians 5, and I want you to note a word in here in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14. Verse 12 and 13 talks about knowing them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you to esteem them in love for their work's sake. But then in verse 14, he says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men." He states here, in the very same context, he exhorts to warn them that are unruly. The word unruly there, it means unarranged, it means obstinate, it means stubborn. That's instruction to church members regarding other church members. He talks about the leadership in verses 12 and 13, but then in verse 14 he says, "We exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly." That's instruction for church members regarding other church members. Warn those who are unarranged, those who are obstinate, those who are stubborn, because it's going to affect the peace in the body. And Paul speaks pretty forcefully here regarding even his own authority in all of this. And so we see that there is submission to God, there's submission to God's word, there's submission to God-appointed leadership in the church, but there's also submission one to another. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, Peter talks about being an elder himself. He's writing to elders in verse 1. "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder." He gives instruction in verse 2 that they are to feed the flock of God, which is among them, taking oversight over the church, not being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And then he talks about standing before the chief shepherd. He's going to appear, and he's going to reward according to faithfulness. But then he gets to verse 5, and he says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble." We find here that the Apostle Paul says that we're also to submit one to another, that we ought to be clothed with humility. And there are times, even when pastors need to submit themselves to church members, that we all should be clothed with humility for the glory of the Lord. Go to Ephesians 5 and verse 21. Ephesians 5 and verse 21. "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." And he goes on to talk about relationships between wives and husbands and wives, etc. And then he says in verse 24, "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands, and husbands love your wives," and so on. And then he gets down to verse 25, "Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, and here's the reason, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." Submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God is part of the sanctifying, is part of cooperating with the work of the Lord, that he would present to himself a glorious church. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. This sort of ties in with 1 Thessalonians 5 and warning the unruly, those who are stubborn and obstinate. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Paul says here that there are some who walk disorderly. If you were to study that out, you'd find that it's the exact same Greek word that is translated as unruly in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. Those who walk disorderly, they're obstinate, they're stubborn, they're unarranged. And Paul speaks forcefully of his own authority here. He says in verse 14, if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. And so we see that there is to be submission to God, to His Word, to God-appointed leadership in the church, to each other. And all of that plays a part in the church being what Christ wants it to be. Fourthly, there's a commitment to preserving sanctification. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We are here already, but I want to point out something else in verse 16. 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? In verse 9, and he goes on to say in verse 17, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? He says, the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Purity and holiness is important to the Lord. It's important in the church. It's important in our own life. It's the key to the function of the church. And, of course, the church is the people. And so we shouldn't make any mistakes here in understanding that the Lord wants and is working towards holiness and purity in His church. We read in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 24, therefore as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Why? That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And then He says, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The Bible describes three aspects of life in which we need to maintain purity in order to please God. The Bible speaks of purity in our deeds, purity in our words, purity in our thoughts. And there's lots of scriptures that could go along with that. There's a lot of people who measure things only by outward deeds and not the inward. Like, in other words, we make excuses for what people don't see or what people don't know. Like our thoughts, for example. Our thoughts don't matter. So as long as we don't actually do or practice something. But pure thoughts really are essential to a pure life, because our thoughts determine what we say and what we do. And pure thoughts lead to pure words and pure deeds. It really does matter. The attitudes we have, the attitudes of the heart, they really do matter. In order to be pure, we must be willing to examine every aspect of our life. Look in 2 Corinthians, since we're here in 1st, just turn over to 2 Corinthians 13. In verse 5, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? In 1 Thessalonians 5, in verse 21, I'll read it to you. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. in verse 22. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What I'm saying is, serving God will affect our lives. It's not just to affect our life 1 or 2 hours a week when we come to church, but it should affect our life 24 hours a day. That's a challenge, friend. A challenge for me. 2 Timothy 3, in verse 16, you know it talks about the Scriptures, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And I want you to note, though, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And here's the reason why: that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Scriptures instruct us in righteousness, providing us or providing for us or bringing us to a place of every good work. Yay, praise the Lord for that. But we also need to realize that we have to apply it in our life, to study it, to determine to align our life with it. The Word of God effectually works, but it effectually works in those who believe. Titus chapter 2 sums up the Lord's will for God's people while we live here. In Titus 2, in verse 11, note this. Titus 2:11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." The grace of God that brings salvation teaches us something else: that while we live here, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. At the same time, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the Lord, who purchased us, who gave Himself for us, to purify unto Himself a peculiar people. The Lord does that through His Word. He does that through the preaching of His Word. All of that is a benefit to us in membership of the church. And as a member of the church, we ought to be committed to preserving sanctification. Now, we're not going to be perfect at that, because we're sinful people. But there's a remedy. And the remedy is 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Membership in the Lord's church is not a social club that's here for our entertainment. It's not primarily here to benefit us, even though we do receive so much benefit from it. If you want to be a follower of Christ and a member of His body, it's going to require a commitment. And we ought to be committed to some things. That this church is here by design of the Lord. The Lord has placed me here in this body. He's got a job for me, His will for me. I need to do my part. We need to strive together in our commitment to the Lord and to each other and to fulfilling the work of the Lord. And that's what we're going to talk about next time. Next time we're going to consider the last of what the Bible says about church membership, that it's a cause. What is the cause? David said, "Is there not a cause?" Yes, there is. It's not just random. It's not just routine. There's a cause. Again, a New Testament Baptist church is not a social club. It exists for a God-given purpose. And we're going to talk about that next time. That one might take a little bit longer, a couple weeks to get through. But are you doing your part? Are you in your place? Are you cooperating with the will of God? The Bible says that God resists the proud, but He gives grace unto the humble. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for Your people. Thank You for the day. This short time that we've had this afternoon is just a reminder, an encourager to God's people that we don't take for granted where we're at. And while we're here, for however long the will of God is that we are here, we have a purpose. We have a responsibility. You've gifted us and equipped us. And the purpose of that is to glorify You, to build up others. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to see straight, to be reminded again the value of this church, where You've placed us, the benefit that it is, yes, but also the ability to give glory unto the Lord. Lord, I pray that our heart, there would not be a heart in anyone that would have some kind of personal agenda, seeking of any kind of accolade or recognition or power or authority or any other thing. But Lord, that our hearts would be humble before You, grateful that You've given us a place to serve You, that You've equipped us and given us a role, a part to play in giving glory to the Lord. And may we have a heart to be willing to strive together in our place, what You've gifted us with, for the glory of the Lord, for the edification of this body, that we might move forward in the cause, the purpose for which we exist. Lord, help us to examine it from that viewpoint and live accordingly. And Lord, that we would be able to truly say we did our best to give glory unto the Lord, to serve. We were committed to the Christ and committed to each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.